As I put together an episode for this week, it was hard not to notice the changing weather. The forecast for the next week or so shows temperatures pushing into the 50s. Our totally impressive amounts of snow are rapidly melting. The unpaved streets of Dillingham, badly rutted as they move quickly in the direction of simple gravel roads again. Yeah, it won't be long before the tundra begins to push through, as patches grow larger and larger each day. Me being a winter person, I can't help but take a brief moment for a quick ode to a magnificent winter. Wasn't it fantastic? I sure hope the future holds more like it. If you own a snow machine, and a lot of us do, this was a dream of a year. If you don't own one, maybe it's time to find one in hopes that our future winters will provide similar such opportunities. But just as winter is on the out, let's take our attentions today in a more spring-like direction. Today, I'd like to address a couple of related topics, one of them an annual one. That one is the Alaska subsistence spring-summer migratory bird harvest season, which opened April 2nd, but is only going to start being relevant in the coming weeks. The other is the status of the emperor goose, and some updates regarding that species. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Even though I am a card-carrying winter lover, there are some good things that come with every single season to include spring, which happens to be my least favorite of the four. Migratory birds returning is one of those, and always a great thing on a couple of levels. First, I love seeing them return to the area from a strictly observational point of view. Birds are fun. It's great to see so many species coming back to the area. Our yard, as with many others, plays summer home to a wide variety of songbirds, and the time is rapidly approaching when they'll show up once again, and in large numbers, so there's that. And for those who enjoy hunting, the beginning of the month, the 2nd specifically, marked the opening of another Alaska subsistence spring-summer migratory bird harvest season, which means that returning ducks and geese, as well as a host of other species, are once again fair game for harvest for area hunters. There's probably a few birds being harvested already, but we're likely a few weeks away from big numbers showing up. One person I know who's really big into waterfowl hunting always told me that Mother's Day weekend in early May is when things really take off. With the subsistence season once again open, let's touch on some things connected to that season. I'll own up to the fact that I enjoy going out with the shotgun, but I'm not the most competent waterfowl hunter out there. I'm a lot closer to the bottom. When I was maybe 10 or 11 or so, my grandpa took me out to a pond on some property he owned. I think maybe I had said I wanted to shoot a duck, probably from having seen something written up in Outdoor Life or some similar magazine. Well, a few times that fall I stealthily, or so I thought, made my way up the back of that pond dam, only to watch a handful of ducks fly away when I got to the top. My memory is that they were mallards and canvasbacks, and I never came close to taking a shot. Such was the entirety of my waterfowl hunting experience until a few years back. I literally didn't hunt waterfowl from that age until maybe 7 or so years ago, when I decided to give the spring season a whirl. I have tried to get out a few times every spring since, and I very much enjoy my time afield. I'll stand by my own self-assessment as being a mediocre waterfowl hunter, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe it'll all come together someday and I'll have some epiphany and become a better waterfowl hunter, but if that doesn't happen, that's fine. I still have fun when I'm out there. So, to the issue of actually hunting during this particular season, there are a few boxes that you have to check to legally hunt for migratory birds in the spring. If you are over 18 years old, you are required to have a state hunting license and a state duck stamp, except for disabled veterans, those 60 or older, and those that qualify for a low-income license. You do not have to have a federal duck stamp for the subsistence season. That changed a few years back. To say that again, no federal duck stamp. Yes, for most of us anyway, on a state hunting license, and yes, on a state duck stamp. State stamps and hunting license are available from state license vendors, Alaska Department of Fish and Game offices, and online. The Togiak Refuge law enforcement officer also has those documents. State duck stamps must be signed in ink across the face and must be carried at all times while waterfowl hunting, but are not required for hunting non-waterfowl species. I bought my state stamp a couple weeks ago because I had the time and I was in the right place, my office, and do have plans to hunt this spring. Also, and you have heard this on here before, shot shells have to have non-lead shot in them. That's actually been an across-the-board, can't-do item since 1991, which means that waterfowl hunting has been a lead-free event, officially and legally, for 3 decades now. Lead is toxic. What you need to use is non-toxic shot. Non-toxic shot is defined as any shot type that does not cause sickness and death when ingested by migratory birds. Some common types of metals used in place of lead include steel, tungsten, and bismuth, as well as combinations and alloys. Each has its pros and cons as well as its supporters and detractors. And it's not just not using lead shot. You can't even have it on you while you're hunting migratory birds. So if you have an assortment of shot shells for various species, including lead for upland birds, rattling around in your backpack, shoulder bag, or pocket, take care to make sure none of them are lead shot when you're hunting waterfowl. I'd like to believe that after so long with this being the case, legally, that everybody pretty much has this one down. But just in case, make sure you're toting non-toxic shot. The regulations booklets are out, and that information can be found online as well, and they spell out what you can and can't do with hunting during this season. There's a short list of prohibited items beyond no lead shot, and to me, a lot of them seem pretty common sense. For example, no shotguns larger than 10 gauge, battery or machine guns, fish hooks, poisons, drugs, or explosives. No shooting from a sink box or low-floating device that conceals the hunter beneath the surface of the water. Ditto hunting from any type of aircraft, hunting with the aid of recorded bird calls, or using live birds as decoys. Furthermore, you may not use any vehicle, aircraft, or boat to concentrate, drive, rally, or stir up any migratory birds. No shooting across or from a road or highway. Specific to us around Bristol Bay, no airboats or jet skis for hunting or transporting hunters. So, there are things to keep in mind. There are rules to follow. That's pretty much true with anything you could want to hunt, and in my opinion, those things typically really aren't all that onerous. Doing things the right way is always the right way to do them, no matter the endeavor. Tied to the spring season, I'd like to now transition to emperor geese, a species of potential interest to area hunters, and also, currently, a species of some concern. Emperor geese are an important subsistence food and an iconic species on Alaska coastal and tundra landscapes. Truly Alaska's goose, 80-90% of the world's population nest on the Yukon-Kuskokwim River Delta and migrate in winter within other parts of Alaska. Put another way, they're here all year. After a near collapse in the 1980s and subsequent closure to all hunting, the emperor goose population grew slowly and was opened for a customary and traditional hunt in 2017 after a 30-year absence, and then a state-managed hunt in 2018. In 2019, the population index for emperor geese was lower than it had been in the past. This drop in numbers may be for a variety of reasons, and additional surveys are planned for this year to help decide whether the apparent decline is a true reflection of what is going on with emperor geese. In the meantime, hunting has come under a caution flag, so to speak. Due to their unique life history and biological traits, the emperor goose population is slow growing, and after just 2 years of being open to hunting, it does look like there might be a decline happening. This decline could put hunting opportunities at risk. As agreed upon in collaborative management plans, if the population falls below a certain level, hunting will no longer be allowed. Frankly, my own thoughts would be to target other species. For example, I'd be just as happy to harvest a speckle belly, and there are plenty of them. For those who do plan to hunt emperor geese this year, though, there are some things you can do to assist with conservation while you hunt. First, take juvenile birds instead of adults when possible. Harvesting adult emperor geese will have the greatest negative impact on the population, as these are the breeders that will be laying eggs and raising young. Females do not breed every year. They don't mate until they're 3 years old. Gosling survival during the first year is low, and emperor geese don't re-nest or replace eggs if they lose their original clutch, so it's critical to give potential breeding pairs a chance. Second, don't harvest entire family groups, even if you have the chance. Emperor geese tend to stay together in family groups even after one is shot, which puts the others at risk. Tied to that, target single emperor geese instead of flocks to reduce the chance of injuries or unintentional mortalities. Nobody likes it when opportunities are lost. We're experiencing that now with caribou, so we need to recognize potential dangers before they become critical, and we need to take steps to mitigate them becoming worse. If you are a hunter, please consider reducing your take to help ensure this species will continue to nest in winter in sufficient numbers to allow for future harvest. It will take all of us to conserve emperor geese for the future. For everyone who partakes of our current season, best of wishes on your efforts and, as always, be safe out there. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.